This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments on Monday in a case challenging mail-in ballot deadlines. In Alaska, the court's decision could extend to other types of voting as well. The Republican National Committee is challenging Mississippi's law allowing mail ballots to arrive up to 5 days after Election Day. Alaska accepts ballots that arrive up to 10 days after Election Day, as long as they're postmarked on or before that date. The case could be consequential for the midterm elections when control of Congress is at stake. While people of both parties vote by mail, more permissive rules for it are perceived to help Democrats, especially since President Trump rails against the practice. U.S. Solicitor General John Sauer argued that counting ballots that arrive late violates the federal law that sets the election day for the whole country.
All ballots have to be received and the ballot box has to close on Election Day.
In Alaska's last general election, more than 50,000 ballots arrived by mail, although the Division of Elections couldn't immediately say how many of those arrived in the 10 days after Election Day. Sometimes, even Alaska ballots cast in person on Election Day aren't received the same day. The village of Atkasuk on the North Slope tried to phone in its 2024 election results but couldn't get through to the Division of Elections. The mail ballots arrived 9 days later. Alaska's Attorney General wrote a brief asking the court to be clear in its ruling and to consider places like Atkasuk. Pat Redmond is co-president of the Alaska League of Women Voters. She says the current deadline is fair and allows remote places time to deliver their ballots.
Not every place has electronic transmission. Then those people, their ballots don't count. And that's disenfranchising people.
Attorney Scott Stewart, defending Mississippi's ballot deadline, says it's wrong for the Trump administration to suggest that late-arriving ballots are subject to fraud.
They've sounded the anti-fraud theme. They haven't cited a single example of fraud from post-election day ballot receipt in this
century. Thank you.
The court is expected to issue a ruling in June. An attorney who challenged the Mississippi law said states would have time to change their ballot rules in time for the November election. On Saturday, a team of researchers left Bethel on a snow machine expedition across the western and northern coasts of Alaska. The project is called Collaborative Observations of the Arctic Shore Zone, a traverse for knowledge exchange, or COAST-X for short. It comes out of UAF's Institute of Northern Engineering, and its team aims to meet with communities to discuss environmental changes. Researchers Benjamin Jones and Philip Wilson began their 1,600-mile traverse from Bethel to Ukiagvik, roughly tracing the shores of the YK Delta and Norton Sound, as well as the Bering Strait and Chukchi Sea coasts. The goal of the expedition is to collect locals' lived experience regarding changes in sea ice, permafrost, and shoreline erosion in their respective regions. The project aims to amplify indigenous experience and plans to meet observational reports with their own data and research tools. The researchers also intend to spend time in community schools. The COAST-X team will share updates on their blog along with a real-time tracker as they move northward, which can be found at coast-x.alaska.edu. The project is supported by both local and national collaborators, including the National Science Foundation via UAF's Action Project and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Cold Regions Research and Engineering Laboratory. Tuntutuliak's power plant is no longer short on fuel. Trucks recently plied the new Kuskokwim River Ice Road extension to alleviate a critical shortage. The community is still rebuilding from damage caused by ex-Typhoon Halong, and how it can afford to pay back the much-needed fuel remains unclear. Here's a report. After the remnants of Typhoon Halong swept through Tuntutuliak last fall, causing widespread damage to homes and infrastructure, fuel consumption in the community spiked.
People were using their dryers, trying to dry up their stuff. More heaters, contractors, you know, using electricity to work on homes. Those are the factors.
That's Carl Andrew, who has managed the community's power utility for the past 20 years. He says fuel needs at the power plant increased by roughly 2,000 gallons a week immediately after the storm. In late February, Andrew says he checked to see how fuel levels were doing.
We dip our tanks every year, this time of the year, you know, to make sure we have enough.
Andrew realized the power plant was set to run out of fuel as early as mid-April, which would leave the community without electricity a month and a half before the arrival of the first fuel barge of the season. Around the same time, Kuskokwim River ice road crews had completed an extension linking Tuntutuliak to the hub of Bethel for the first time in 6 years to aid with Halong relief efforts. Andrew says he saw an opportunity. He estimated the power plant would need more than 8,000 gallons of fuel to make it to spring. The sole supplier able to deliver from Bethel over the ice road, Top Fuel, quoted Andrew at $13.60 per gallon. Andrew says the money wasn't there to make an upfront payment. He says he had already been in close contact with State Representative Nellie Jimmy's office for help navigating the federal disaster relief process, detailing storm losses for the utility covered under the Federal Emergency Management Agency's Public Assistance Program.
Drums of oil, drums of coolant, tools in the tool shed, snow machine, stuff like that.
But the fuel needs at the power plant were immediate. Representative Jimmy's office proposed what appeared to be the only solution, taking out an additional loan from the state bulk fuel program that the utility already relies on to pay for its annual fuel needs. Representative Jimmy's chief of staff, Rachel Gunn, says Jimmy's office was able to help expedite the loan process. She says the roughly $114,000 price tag for the fuel delivery would be far higher if not for the ice road extension.
The speed of the loan with the ice road and being in good condition and not having gone through a storm was absolutely paramount. Getting that loan process as quickly as possible to get the fuel delivered so that we could get it at that $13.60 a gallon and not have to have it flown in small amounts.
On March 11th, Tuntutuliak's utility received its fuel. Andrew says he hopes it's enough to make it through until barge season and that he can come up with a way to pay back the bulk fuel loan.
Not too sure, you know, where we'll get the funds to pay for that.
Gunn says Representative Jimmy's office is working with state and federal agencies to find a solution. She says the crisis in Tuntutuliak is a direct result of the October 2025 storm, but that proving this for the purposes of receiving federal relief is tricky.
Even though the day after the storm, the fuel shot up, FEMA's got these incredibly prescriptive requirements for what is able to be attributed to the disaster.
For communities still rebuilding from severe storm damage, the arrival of spring will mean much cheaper barged fuel. Until then, Tuntutuliak has found a way to keep the power on. But without some sort of reimbursement, Andrew says the utility may soon be in the red. He says the first monthly payment for the emergency fuel loan from the state is due April 1st. KYUK News, I'm Evan Erickson, Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Ganamchit coming up.